Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Haram Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. The first is the issue of libertarianism, because Moshe Feiglin and Zehut ran sort of as a libertarian movement in Israel with that type of flavor. And that's a movement that never succeeds, that never wins elections in the Western world, and it won't win elections in Israel. And the second thing that we want to discuss is Bernie Sanders, the self-hating Jew who, according to the polls, is now the front runner for the Democrat presidential nomination. There's a real danger that he will become the Democrat nominee and that he could even be elected president. Polls show him running neck and neck with Donald Trump. Some polls show him actually beating Donald Trump in a head-to-head contest. Very, very dangerous. And we want to discuss, we're going to be exposing different aspects of what this Judenrat capo represents, and one of those aspects is the fact that he's the first major presidential campaign with a Muslim, a militant, hateful Muslim campaign manager. But first, let's talk about Moshe Feiglin and Zehut. We've been discussing this ever since the election results. As you know, as our regular viewers know, Moshe Feiglin and Zehut came close but did not actually passed the threshold, did not get into the Knesset. They got 120,000 votes. They needed about 140,000. So they came about 20,000 votes short. And we, always behind the scenes, were always expressing our view and urging that the campaign be a right-wing campaign, a straight right-wing campaign, not a campaign that mixes different themes with libertarianism and all these other subjects that they got into. But our advice was not listened to, unfortunately, and I think that's why, and I'm convinced that that's why they didn't get in. They didn't pass the threshold, which is very unfortunate because most of the things that Moshe Feiglin was proposing would have been excellent for Israel. Most of those things would have been very important for Israel. But in any event, one thing that we didn't discuss on our prior programs is the issue of libertarianism, because Moshe Feiglin, in effect, ran a libertarian campaign or a libertarian-style campaign. And on some issues, he was able to bring that in together with his proposals to offer the Arabs money to leave Israel and other things that he said that were good things. But he also put in there all types of things that confuse people. And so the end result was people on the right attacked him and said that he's not really right-wing, and people on the left attacked him and said he's not left-wing. He was attacked from all sides. The voters wound up being confused, and people on the right didn't want to support him because they didn't think he was really right-wing on all the issues, and people on the left certainly didn't want to support him because he wasn't left-wing on the issues. So he wound up losing and getting hit from all sides, and it's amazing that he came so close to getting into the Knesset with that type of campaign. But in any event, if you run a libertarian-type campaign, you're going to lose. Libertarians do not win. We've seen that in the United States, for instance, just to give you an example. In the United States, by the way, libertarians have done far better than they've done in other Western countries. So let's use the United States as an example. The most famous libertarians in the United States in recent history were Ron Paul and Rand Paul. Ron Paul, the father, and Rand Paul, his son. Ron Paul ran for president, got tremendous publicity, raised a lot of money, many, many millions of dollars. I don't remember, tens of millions of dollars. He had a large budget. He really had a very effective fundraising campaign, was heavily publicized, became very well known among the American voters, was certainly universally well known in all the primary and caucus states. He ran for the Republican presidential nomination. He was universally known in the Republican among Republican voters in Iowa, New Hampshire, and all the other primary and caucus states. And yet he did very poorly when the actual vote came in. He had an enthusiastic army of supporters. and a very vigorous, huge internet presence, just as Moshe Feiglin had in Israel, huge internet presence. And yet, that enthusiastic army of supporters, when it came down to actual numbers of voters, Ron Paul was beaten very badly running for the nomination, was defeated overwhelmingly, was in the single digits in one state after another. I just did not do well. His son, Rand Paul, ran for the presidency in 2016, 2 years ago. And his son, Rand Paul, is a senator from Kentucky. And the results, again, were very, very poor. He did very poorly. When he first started running, he had a lot of support. It looked like he was going to be one of the major contenders. But those libertarian positions caused confusion among the voters. And so conservatives and evangelicals and the base of the Republican Party ran away from him. And he just never caught fire. The only people he got were the libertarian voters, who are a very small minority of the voters. And even in the general election, if you look at people running, okay, they ran for the Republican nomination and didn't do well. Let's look at the Libertarian Party, which is run as an independent party because Moshe Feiglin is running as an independent third party, right? So libertarians have run as an independent third party. They had, in the past two campaigns, the former governor of New Mexico, Gary Johnson, was their candidate. And they've never been able to get more than a couple of percent of the vote, 2 or 3% of the vote. They've never been able to do better than that. They've raised millions of dollars. They've gotten pretty extensive publicity during the campaign itself. But they've never been able to connect with the voters. Their platform does not connect with the voters. In Israel, the situation is no different from the United States and every other Western country in terms of the appeal of libertarianism. It doesn't have an appeal. It causes confusion among most voters. And it's not a philosophy that most voters identify with. Moshe Feiglin is not going to win if he's going to run on a libertarian campaign platform. And that would be a terrible loss to Israel because he and his party, they were the only ones running who were telling the truth to the people of Israel. And unlike Rand Paul and Ron Paul, those two anti-Semites, Yimach Shmam v'Zichram, Shem Reshaim Yirakav, may their names and memories be obliterated. Unlike those two beasts who ran for the presidency, Lehavdil be'elef alfei havdalot, Moshe Feiglin was actually a righteous person and was running on a good platform and was a religious Jew and was running on a good platform and wanted identity for the Jewish people. His party, Zehut, means identity in Hebrew. He was running on a good platform on most issues. So it really was a shame that he got into this niche. Now, Moshe Feiglin said when he was running, he said he doesn't want to be pigeonholed into some right-wing corner and run only as a right-wing candidate, and then he'll lose all the other votes. And he said he did polls that showed that that's what would happen. I don't know what polls he did. I don't know what he's talking about, but I know this. Bibi Netanyahu has run as a right-wing candidate and has won five times. Five times. Even times when the poll showed he wasn't going to win, in the end, he wins. On election day, he wins. Because the voters in Israel lied to the pollsters. A lot of the voters know the pollsters are leftists. They know the media is leftist, so they love to lie to them just to screw them. So polls have sometimes shown Bibi losing, and yet on election day, he wins. Bibi won the elections in 1996, 2009, 2013, 2015, and now 2019. Five times he's been elected. Five times. So there's no question that there is a right-wing majority in Israel. The most of the voters in Israel are right-wing. Even when the so-called left runs and wins, like Yitzhak Rabin in 1992, or Ehud Barak when he ran in 1999 and was elected. Even then, they pretend they're not left-wing. They pretend they run as what they call bitchonistim, security. They're security people, generals. Rabin was a general, ran as a general, even though in reality on the battlefield he never won a single battle, was a disaster, but he ran as a general. Barak ran as a military man. And the same thing with even Bibi's opposition in this election this year. His opponents were all generals who were saying that they were all generals and they were all going to They were all going to be tough military men, all baloney, all a bluff. They were generals who lost every battle, and who not because Israel couldn't, Israel could easily win, but they didn't win because they didn't have the will to win, because they're self-hating Jews. But in any event, even the left has to run as if it's not really left-wing. The only party that actually calls itself left-wing in Israel is the Meretz party. That's the only party that runs openly as a left-wing party, that openly says we're a left-wing party, and they get 4 seats out of 120. None of the other parties run openly as a left-wing party. That's a dirty word in Israel. Smolanim, leftists, that's a dirty word in Israel, thank God, Baruch Hashem. So when Moshe Feiglin ran bragging that he has support from leftists too, and that he has support from people who voted for Meretz, and that he has someone in his campaign, he has people high up in his campaign who once worked for Meretz, and so on and so forth, he did this to show his wide appeal, that he appeals to the left and to the right and all over, and that it's a new freedom platform that will appeal to everybody. This is the same argument that Rand Paul made and Ron Paul made in the United States. It didn't work for them. It didn't work for Feiglin. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You have to run with a clear-cut ideological message, especially if you're a new party without a big budget, with a hostile media, and all the other disadvantages that Feiglin has and that Zehut have. If you're running with those disadvantages, the only way you're going to get people to go with you is if you run with a very clear-cut platform and clear-cut positions that people understand, that people comprehend. Now, Feiglin ran with some clear-cut positions, but again, there was a lot of confusion there because it was not... There were positions that were on the right, and there were positions that weren't on the right. So it just caused a lot of confusion. And when there's confusion, you lose your base. The first thing you do, the first rule of politics, is you secure your base. That's the first rule of politics. If you don't secure your base, you're certainly not going to be able to get beyond your base. And Feiglin never secured his base. So we're trying to urge him. We're going to urge him. And we're doing it with Hebrew videos as well. We're urging him this time to run our true right-wing campaign. Will we succeed in convincing him? I don't know. He did run as a right-winger in the Likud. And because of that, he became a threat to them, and they threw him out. They threw him out of the Likud because he became a threat. And there were times when he got a lot of votes running a right-wing campaign in the Likud. He ran against Netanyahu to be the number one person on the Likud, in the Likud, which is the ruling party in Israel. And he got a lot of votes. He got almost a third of the vote in one of the primaries. I mean, he was able to make a big appeal, and he was at the peak of his influence when he was running a true right-wing campaign. And the same thing is true, you know, when he was with Zu Arzenu, which means this is our land, when he led the protest movement against the Oslo agreements, he was doing that as a true right-winger. He didn't do it as a libertarian and say, well, we're doing this for freedom. He did this. He said he was doing it to save the land of Israel, and he used all the right wing messages. And he got a lot of people to get behind him when he did that. A lot of those people who supported him in those days abandoned him when he ran as an independent because of this confusion that was created. So now you may ask, well, should JTF have supported him in view of the fact that he took positions on some issues that weren't right-wing and that weren't what we agreed with? I believe so, yes, because I think that, again, if he had gotten in, and he almost got in anyway, if he had gotten in, I think he would have been a positive influence. He would have been the only party really telling the truth and the only party that really would have pushed to change the Supreme Court, to save the land of Israel, to stop giving aid to the Arabs and instead encourage the Arabs to leave. On the positions that he did take some good positions, but in the end, he didn't get in because I think that he didn't have a clear-cut message. You got to secure your base, and you have to have a very clear message. And not just clear in your mind. In Feiglin's mind, his message was very clear. It was a message of freedom. Cherut, he said. Freedom. Okay. That was a message in his mind, it was clear, but in the minds of the voters, it was anything but clear. And he opened himself up and became vulnerable to all types of attacks from the right, from the left, from rabbis, from Arut Sheva, and Makor Rishon, and Kippah, and Srugim, and all of these sites on the right, all attacked him, day after day after day attacked him. And the end result was, you know, the end result was he lost the huge numbers of supporters that he could have gotten. So I hope he'll listen to the advice. Will my advice guarantee that he succeeded? There's no guarantees in life. The voters have bechira chofshit, they have free will. There's no absolute guarantee. But in my opinion, it's the only thing that gives him a shot, that gives him a chance. I think he'll have a reasonable chance if he does what we're suggesting. If he doesn't, I think that he's going to have the same problems that he had this year. So, JTF is trying to influence things. We're going to try to convince him to go down this path. We'll see. We'll see if we succeed. We may not. But in the meantime, I am happy with the fact that we, at least with our advertising campaign, reached over 1 million Israeli Jews with our message. Many Israeli Jews are exposed to the message. And again, remember what the message that we had in our commercials. This is something Israelis never hear from anybody. We said there is no Palestinian people, which, by the way, Feiglin also says. Feiglin also says there's no Palestinian people. He's the only party, the only one running that said that. I mean, a lot of things Feiglin said that were the truth that no one else would say. That's one of the reasons why we supported him. But in any event, we had commercial explaining that there's no Palestinian people. We had commercials explaining why we can get the Arabs out with monetary compensation. We can get the vast majority of Arabs will leave. And their own polls, their own Arab polls show that they want to leave. We had commercials explaining the truth about the Likud and the phony right, how they always sell out in the end, how we never get true right-wing policies, even when people think they're voting right-wing. We had commercials with very important messages, and over 1 million Israeli Jews saw those commercials. So I think that was good. I think the fact that we at least began to introduce Israeli Jews to this message that we have, I think that was important, and we're continuing it. We'll continue. Every day, our ads are still going. Our advertising campaign never stopped. It didn't stop because of the campaign. Our advertising campaign is going on with our message, with the JTF right-wing message. So I think that's very important because we want to build resistance just in case the government tries to do anything insane like create a so-called Palestine state. We want to be there to build resistance and to be one of the voices of resistance. And I think we're creating a situation where we will be. Because of our advertising and because people are becoming familiar with us because of that advertising campaign. So we'll see. We'll see if we succeed. If we don't succeed in convincing him, and it'd be a tragedy if he doesn't get in and we don't succeed in convincing him, but we'll go on. We'll go on pressing our case, and eventually there will be voices of truth that will carry the message into the Knesset. That eventually will happen. Sooner or later it's going to happen. But in the meantime, we're continuing with our message, you know, is completely uncompromising and tells the truth to the people of Israel that I assure you, they never hear the message that we're giving, the message we're giving you and the message that we bring to them. They never hear that from anyone else. And the facts that we bring to them, the more we bring those facts to them, if we convince them that that's the way to go, that will save Israel. So we got to continue doing that. We got to continue our education campaign, and we're doing so. The second thing I want to discuss is Bernie Sanders. Now, you know that we don't like Donald Trump. We don't like what he stands for. He's not a right-wing president. He's not a conservative. He's just a fraud. And he's a filthy-mouthed, immoral piece of garbage, unfortunately. But as we've said before, it appears that the Democrats are so bad that they're even worse. So we probably are not going to have any choice but to support him for re-election just because the other side is worse. And an example of that is Bernie Sanders, who, according to some of the polls, is now the front runner for the Democrat presidential nomination. All the polls show him either in first place or second place. It's between him and Joe Biden for first place and second place. And I have a feeling Joe Biden is not going to be the nominee. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I have a feeling Joe Biden is not going to be the nominee because he's a gaffe machine. He makes so many mistakes, says so many crazy things, and he really is a little bit off the wall, Joe Biden. Just, you know, he's just a complete joke of a candidate. If the Democrats nominate him, they're crazy because he'll be an easy target because of all the crazy things that he says. But the polls show, because he was Obama's vice president, that he's very well known, that he and Sanders are in first and second place. Some polls show Sanders running ahead of him and Biden in second place. Some polls show Biden in first and Sanders in second. But it's always those two on the top. That doesn't mean that one of them will be the nominee. Somebody could overtake them. That could easily happen. But right now, Sanders is raising a lot of money, has a very strong grassroots organization in the primary and caucus states, which is very important, and is a very serious contender with a real chance. He has a real chance of winning, God forbid. And this self-hating Jew would be the ultimate nightmare. I mean, if he were the Democrat nominee, we would work day and night to do anything we could to defeat him, because he is the ultimate nightmare for the Jewish people and for the world. Just the ultimate nightmare. There is no chilul Hashem, there is no desecration of God's name more horrific than when Jews, who are supposed to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests, instead do the opposite of what they're supposed to do. When Jews do the opposite, when they lead the world to evil instead of leading the world to righteousness. The Jews who carry God's name, because God chose them to carry his name and his message to the world. And when they, in Hollywood or in politics or in the business world or anywhere else, do the opposite of what they're supposed to do. People like the animal from Facebook, the owner of Facebook, Zuckerberg, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, or the animals who own Google and YouTube, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram. When these self-hating Jews do the opposite of what a Jew is supposed to do, and all the Jewish politicians, this is the ultimate desecration of God's name. It is a disaster, and it's something that we have to fight against at all costs. And that's one of the reasons why we urge people, when you see a candidate in the United States or in any other country outside of Israel, you see a Jewish candidate run against a Gentile candidate, vote for the Gentile. 99.9% of the time you should vote for the Gentile. 99.9% of the time. The Jew will do more harm to Israel and the Jewish people, the Jewish politician, than the Gentile. Okay? And that includes even the Jewish Republicans and so-called conservatives. They're frauds. The Jews that enter politics outside of Israel are fraud. First of all, Jews are not supposed to be in outside of Israel at all. They're supposed to be living in Israel, and they're certainly not supposed to be holding political office outside of Israel. They're not supposed to be running for office or holding political office. And when they get in office, they backstab their own people and bend over backwards to show that they're not loyal to the Jewish people. They're loyal to America. They're loyal to, as if there's a contradiction between supporting Israel and being loyal to America. There's no contradiction, because God says, if you bless Israel, I will bless you, and curse Israel, I will curse you. So anyone who's against Israel is against America and against any country. They're hurting themselves in their own country when they're against Israel. So it's absurd. Things like dual loyalty and these other charges are absurd. But to prove to all the anti-Semites that they're loyal to America and not to Israel, they bend over backwards and stab their own people in the back. That's what these self-hating Jews do. And this beast Bernie Sanders, this Jewish communist, Judenrat Kapo piece of garbage, is the worst of the worst. The worst of the worst. This Jewish communist is the lowest of the low. He'll destroy America, and he will destroy America if he becomes president. And he absolutely will endanger Israel's very survival. And will be in peril of another Holocaust, God forbid. Israel can never be completely destroyed, because God brought the Jewish people back. This is the final time. Israel will never be completely destroyed. But there are 6 million Jews there. God forbid, there could be a Holocaust. A large percentage of the Jews could be murdered. God forbid. A nightmare. Just a nightmare. What could happen? And Bernie Sanders will create that danger. He will create that danger. And just to give you one of the illustrations, we're going to be probably doing a lot of programs on him. But one of the illustrations, he's the first major party candidate running for president, this self-hating Jew. The first major party candidate running for president whose campaign manager, the guy running his whole campaign, is a Muslim who's active in all the Muslim organizations that support Islamic terrorism and that are apologists for Islamic terrorism, and they support Islamic terrorism. Faiz Shakir, that's his campaign manager. Faiz Shakir, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshaim Yirkav. A Muslim, a Pakistani Muslim, active in all the Muslim organizations that favor the destruction of Israel and the destruction of America. I mean, he's been involved with all these Islamic groups and Islamic movements. He is Bernie Sanders' campaign manager. And Bernie Sanders always supports the most anti-Semitic and anti-Israel and anti-American candidates. Bernie Sanders was one of the only white or Jewish politicians that endorsed Jesse Jackson when Jesse Jackson ran for president in 1984 and in 1988. Jesse Jackson didn't have support from white politicians or he was running together with Louis Farrakhan. He was running around with holding rallies with Louis Farrakhan. Jesse Jackson did not have support from white politicians or Jewish politicians. Even the self-hating Jews didn't endorse him in the 80s, Jesse Jackson. But one of the only exceptions was Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders did endorse Jesse Jackson for president. Bernie Sanders wanted Jesse Jackson to be president of the United States. So this is the type of subhuman scum that we have with this self-hating Jew, Bernie Sanders. I mean, just scum. Scum. And we've got to do everything we can, of course, to defeat him. And, you know, Bernie Sanders says that the Israeli government is racist. Beto O'Rourke, the Democrats have been running around now calling the Israeli government racist. Now, you know, we're not defenders of Netanyahu or the Israeli government, but to say that these wimps are racist because they're not nice enough to the Arabs, they're attacking them because they're not nice enough to the Arabs who want to destroy Israel. They're not nice enough to the Arab terrorists and the Arab purveyors of genocide that want to destroy Israel. To say that this wimpy Israeli government that doesn't do 0.1% of what an Israeli government should do to the enemies of the Jewish people. The Israeli government should do 1,000 times more than what this wimpy, pathetic, traitorous government in Israel is doing. 1,000 times more to the enemies of Israel. And to say that even this wimpy, pathetic, traitorous government, even they're racists. They're racists. I mean, anyone who says that wants Israel to be destroyed. Bernie Sanders and Beto O'Rourke never called the Muslim Nazis that want to exterminate Israel racists. You never hear them say that Iran is racist. Bernie Sanders defends Iran. You never hear them say the Iranians, who murdered over 2 million of their own fellow Muslims in the Iran-Iraq war. Over 2 million of their fellow Muslims were murdered in the Iran-Iraq war. If this is what they do to their fellow Muslims, they're certainly not joking when they promise and openly say that they're going to exterminate all non-Muslim infidels. And exterminating all non-Muslim infidels, according to Bernie Sanders, he doesn't consider that to be racist. He wants to give the Iranians billions of dollars in assistance. He wants to help them build nuclear bombs, just like Obama did. But the Israeli government, that's the one group that he points out in the Middle East that's racist. All around Israel, Syria, Iran, Iraq, they're murdering millions of their own people. They're committing holocausts against their own men, women, and children. They're starving their own people to death, torturing their own people, using poison gas on children, on their own children. And Bernie Sanders defends them, but says that Israel, little Israel, trying to survive in this lunatic asylum called the Middle East, the one half-human, half-decent country in the Middle East, the Jewish state, that's racist. That's racist, according to Bernie Sanders, and according to Beto O'Rourke and all the anti-Semitic Democrats. What a disgrace that the vast majority of Jewish voters in America are going to vote for this filth, are going to vote for the anti-Semitic Democrats. That's a disgrace. We can't just be silent when that happens. So, you know, we're going to be speaking out as far as next year's election. We can't be silent when that is happening. It's got to be pointed out that the same American Jews that over 90% of them voted for Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, who was responsible for the Holocaust, who allowed the Holocaust, he could have stopped the Holocaust at any time, he allowed it to go on. The American Air Force could have destroyed the death camps, could have destroyed the rail lines leading to the death camps, could have stopped the Holocaust dead in its tracks. And instead, Roosevelt and Churchill, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram, enabled the Holocaust to go on because they wanted the Jews to be murdered. And the Jews loyally, fanatically voted for Roosevelt, adored Roosevelt, the murderer of 6 million Jews. And that same Jewish community now wants to do the same thing to 6 million Jews in Israel. We're not going to be silent about that. You can forget about that. JTF is going to speak out and expose these Judenrat traitors, including the filthy politicians that they support. And all these Jews in Congress, these Jewish congressmen and senators, are all enemies of Israel. They're all backstabbers who are enemies of their own people. So, that's our task ahead of us. That's the task that we have ahead of us. And it's going to be a busy period. As you can see, we're going to be very busy on two different fronts, working to try to get Feiglin and Zehut to run the right type of campaign so they can get in, and of course working to educate the people of Israel in the meantime with our advertising campaign that will never end, God willing. As long as we can do it, God willing, as long as God gives us the power to do it. And the second thing, of course, is going to be that we're not going to be silent over this atrocious situation where people who want to destroy America and destroy the Jewish people, including self-hating Jewish politicians, are running with the support of the vast majority of American Jews. Somebody has to speak out and expose this for the atrocity that it is, and has to say to American Jews, you're going to have to choose now. You're going to have to decide if you're willing to support those that want to destroy your own people. Those are some of the challenges we have ahead of us. And you know that no one will bring the truth like JTF will. So if you understand the importance of that, you're in the right place. If we work together as a team, we can change history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.